Aloha, everyone. It's good to be with you again this morning. And I like to meditate on the Word of God that speaks to us across the centuries, the decades, and even today. So pause with me for a moment of meditation and reflect upon these words. Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, father, we don't need to escalate, for war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so we can see what's going on, what's going on, what's going on, Lord, what's going on. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I hope it was okay to mix a little bit of the prophet Isaiah with the prophet Marvin Gaye. I mean, we gotta bring it home. Bring it home, everybody. Do not remember the former days or consider the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing, says the Lord. It springs up. Do you perceive it? I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Aloha. God's aloha. Crossroads, I thank you for an opportunity to be back here again. Thank you to your pastor, my brother in Christ for many years here in Hawaii, Kahu David Turner, and for all of your officers and your members of this blessed, very historic church. Our scripture says God is making a new way out of no way. God is doing a new thing. It springs up all around us. As it springs up, we use our gifts to praise God by ministering and walking with each other and for those who need us so much as God's hands and feet here in the world. Now, there are incredible stories, I'm sure, of how you have been God's hands, God's feet, here in Hawaii, and it spreads across the world. God has used you, Crossroads. You are springing up, and you are doing great things, and God can do a lot with just very little. I'm a living testimony of that, a grandson of a Mississippi sharecropper, parents from Alabama, Mississippi, and worked in the auto plants, and moved up to Detroit during the Great Black Migration. As a young man, I heard Dr. King preach at my church, and he was a great friend of my pastor, and they were colleagues at Morehouse College. And over the years, many people said that someday, George, you are going to be a preacher. In fact, George, you got the sign. In the black church, quite often people said, boy, you got the sign. You're going to be a preacher someday. And I was like, well, whatever that sign is, please scrub it off. Get rid of it. I don't want it. I had all other plans. I wanted to be a pro football player. I wanted to be a millionaire. Of course, you can see the millionaire part didn't happen, nor did the pro football player. But, you know, God can use even me. Because I received a phone call one night from my oldest sister. You know, I grew up with five sisters. This is where you go, oh, no, that must have been murder. This is where you have pity upon me. But my sister, Blanche, was my closest of the five. She was 3 years older. And she called me late one night, and she said, George, the Lord wants to use you, and the Lord wants to use you in a special way. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about, Blanche. I don't know what you mean by that. She said, well, the Lord wants to use you, but can't use you the way you are right now. You've got some changing to do. I didn't understand that, and time went on, and we hung up the phone, and I did reflect on it. But she went in the hospital, and about 2 to 3 weeks later, she passed away. I didn't know that's what was happening. It shook me to my core. But I still ran. But they say you can run, but you can't hide, especially from God. God found me. I ended up in chaplaincy here in Hawaii. Came here for a one-year residency. It's been 30 years. And I'm a living testimony that God can use even the small things and the things that we think that are not precious to the world, God can take and mold and use. And maybe you can identify with some of those experiences. Perhaps in your lifetime, you thought you were heading in one direction and God took you and sent you in another way. Well, I want to talk about something. I'm going to need this for a second, this prop. This is just a prop. Mike is going to be a prop here. So there's an expression that's used in the world today, and it's very interesting to me, and it didn't just begin, but people have used it, and it's called dropping the mic. Like when you say something profound, and it's the last word, and this is it, and you just hit it hard, you just drop the mic and walk away. Well, you may have a plan in life, and you may think that this is where you're headed, and God goes, bam, and drops the mic, and next thing you know, you're going in another direction. But it's time also to pick up the mic. You know, we think we have the last word. We think we know where we're going. We think we know what we're doing. God says, no, pick up the mic. Well, look at the life of Jesus. Jesus was profound, divine, and he was the ultimate mic dropper. Think of some of the things that happened in his life. The Pharisees and the leaders of the church, they came to him and said, so tell us, is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? And Jesus responds, first he says, get back. Don't mess with me. He said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. Bam. He dropped the mic on them. They were shook. Or, one of many examples, they came to Jesus. You know, we've caught this person in adultery. And, you know, the law of Moses says we have the right to stone her. And so here's another trap for you. What do you say? Jesus was like, let any one of you who is without sin, let me see you cast the first stone. Bam! He dropped the mic on him again. Unreal. Wow. And on this Mother's Day, there are some examples of women who were great mic droppers. Did you know that First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt was a notorious mic dropper? I was in New Haven recently teaching a class up at Yale, and I was able to go to this beautiful concert put on by the New Haven Symphony Orchestra. It was the 80th anniversary of renowned opera singer Marian Anderson's Lincoln Memorial Concert. The history behind it is, you know, Marian had gone to Europe. She was singing all over Japan and Europe everywhere. She came back here to the U.S., and her agent tried to get her into Constitution Hall to sing in Constitution Hall in D.C. Well, the owners of the Constitution Hall, the Daughters of the American Revolution, everybody say, boo. No, just kidding. No, don't do that. Well, they denied it. They said, you know, you're black, you're an African-American, you can't sing in this place. Well, first thing Eleanor Roosevelt did was first she said, first of all, I quit your organization. Bam, dropped the mic on them. But she didn't leave it there. She picked up the mic. And using her voice, she handed it to Marian Anderson and invited her to sing at the Lincoln Memorial, a little larger than Constitution Hall. In fact, 75,000 people showed up. And there was one young man sitting out there too, Martin. Young man by the name of Martin. Well, we know him now as the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was sitting out there that day when she sang, and long story short, she had some beautiful words she said. She said, quite often when you're singing, you don't know who you're speaking to. You don't know who you're touching out there when you sing, said Marian. She said, sometimes there's that one person, and you have to sing to the one, and it's like finding that one lost sheep amongst the 100. The 99 are out there, but you find that one that needs to hear your voice, and you can bring them back into the fold. Well, her heart went out into the community. She touched Martin so deeply. And, of course, we know the history of what happened after that. He touched many lives, brought us to our knees, and then helped us to stand up, saying many of the great things like injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. One of my favorites, he said, I decided to stick with love because hate is too heavy a burden to carry. She touched Martin. Martin went on to touch many, many lives after that. They assassinated him 51 years ago. They thought they had silenced his voice, but it still rings in our hearts today. Well, here in Hawaii, what about Congressman Patsy Meek, co-authored the Title IX bill, bringing justice, prohibiting discrimination against women in athletics and in education? She picked up the mic. She used her voice. I think about my mother, Ruby Lee Scott, from Mobile, Alabama. What a woman. I tell the students at school, you know, you see me and you call me Chaplain Scott, and they always Chaplain Scott. I said, you know, when I was born, my parents didn't say, I think we'll name him Chaplain Scott. No, I had a life before that. And that life was pretty rough at times. And I try to explain to students that, as you know, life is not linear. You don't go from one point to another. There's a lot of peaks and valleys, rough places, along with the smooth ones. And I've been in some deep, deep valleys myself. And I wandered into some places that, well, I can't even talk about them here in church. The walls will come crumbling down. But it was in one of those places that my mom, Ruby Lee, she picked up the mic in a powerful way. I'll tell you this story, and it touches my heart because I'll never forget what happened. I was a young man. I was making some good money, but I was still running from God. And actually, I was running from myself, too. I hung out in some places. I played a lot. I did some things that were really not good and hung out with some folks who were getting into some, I would say, mischief. And one of the places is where Ruby found me one day. Here's what had happened. We'd been out all night, and I knew I was going to be in this, I would say, house of ill repute, so to speak. So I parked my car like 3 or 4 blocks away. I think I'm going to be slick. I parked my car. We partied all night into the morning. I was having myself a good old time. Then here's what happened. Early in the morning, there's a knock at the door. Everybody jumps because, you know, you're in a bad way. Your head is all bad. And someone peeks outside and goes, hey, man, it's your mom. She's outside on the front porch. Ruby Lee is standing on the front porch. I mean, she was probably 75 years old then, but she didn't take no stuff. She said, I know he's in there. Send him out. I'm telling you, whoa. Now, remember, this is Detroit. Now, this is no playground. And I'm in this house of ill repute, and my mother is at the door. She left, and she said, look, I'm going to leave, but tell him to come over to my house. When she left, as all good friends would do, they threw me outside. Get out of here. We don't want to bring any attention to us. They threw me out. Boy, she picked up the mic. She's going on to be with the Lord right now, and I really love her for helping to save my life. Crossroads, you've done some amazing things, and God is still using you in so many powerful ways as an open and affirming church, Just Peace Church, welcoming all people, joyfully preparing hot meals for IHS, and supporting the UCC Transition House with your sales. It's beautiful. Family Promise, providing housing for those who are houseless and waiting to try to find a way to sustain themselves into independence. But, you know, for all of us, God is still moving. God is still speaking. God wants us to pick the mic up, for there's so much more we need to do. So the scripture tells us that I'm about to do a new thing. What do you think God wants to do with us now? What do you think God wants us to do? How should we speak to the world? How does God want to use this? Listen closely, hear God's voice, and when God speaks. We pick up the mic. God bless you, Crossroads. Keep the faith. Amen.